The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yes, it is. Pleasure, joy. Barely have I said a few words, and the wife is already chipping in.
Jeepers.
Hello, you can hang around for a little while if you like. It looks like you are.
Okay, can we just clarify that you make it sound like I just don't leave? When I always pack up my bags to leave the studio when I'm done, and then Vinny says, why don't you stay for a while? But as soon as we come on air, you make it sound like I just never left.
Let's this week be really nice to each other and not argue. Just for a chance.
Oh, I wasn't trying to argue. I was just trying to tell the truth.
You raised your tone. Do you want to cuddle?
No, I don't. I will raise my tone.
My name is Vinny White. This is a radio show that goes on for the next hour. That's Pei Chen. She was on the last show. I'd like her to stay on because I like having a bit of banter with her and we have a few things to discuss. You can find us on Facebook. Well, you can find me on Facebook. You can probably find her as well. But, she's had her time in the limelight, so let's move on. Vinny White is the name. V-I-N-N-E-Y, White. Slightly dyslexic, but there you go. You can phone in on anything you hear. So if there's something that annoys you or something that you want to chip in on, if at any point we have a bank of intelligent, integrally focused individuals standing by the phones, ready to screen and take and field your calls and make this show the beautiful, well-oiled machine that it is on a weekly basis. So you can call us on 416 872 1010 on anything that pops up. You can also text the show on 71010. Someone just has, and it's a bit delayed. I think they're referring to your show. They say, can you stop saying,
Oh, it was my guest. Yes, I knew what they meant, but it wasn't necessary.
It's a bit much, isn't it? Sorry, guest. That's slightly embarrassing. I thought it was aimed at you. Whoops. Oh, dear. Drop the ball there then.
Thanks.
No problem. Is your guest still listening to this show?
Don't know.
Okay. Well, let me say, just for balance, that your guest, who I heard every part of, was fantastic, and I thought the interview was excellent.
Which one?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't. I was preparing my show.
Okay.
Because the only way that this can be the well-oiled machine that it is through preparation, darling.
What did you prepare?
Well, I'll tell you what's coming up on this show. We're going to talk about... a couple of weeks ago, we did the worst song lyrics of all time, which was absolutely fantastic. And this week, later on in the show, we're going to be doing the worst grammar ever to be used in songs. A couple of the artists Canadian, got to say. One of them, let's just say... It rhymes with Schmein Fladdams.
Mm.
Yep.
Yep.
Got that one?
Yep, Bryan Adams.
No, it's Celine Dion. And so we're going to be doing that. We're also going to talk about a man who found a pigeon dead on his doorstep with a note. His pet pigeon was murdered by a neighbour, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about annoying talkers to kick off with.
What does that mean?
So this was inspired by someone that I used to work with that I bumped into the other day. And they are an annoying talker. And the reason that this particular woman is annoying is because she whispers everything. Even when there's no need.
Oh.
So when we used to work together, she'd come in and go, oh yeah, you're right. Do you want a coffee? Do you want a coffee?
Because she was trying not to disturb everyone.
Well, it was only me and her in the office. It felt like that. Like it was, I don't know, if she'd have said, do you want some crack? I'd understand it.
Do you want to go in the back room?
She said that once, but that's another thing altogether. I did not abide. I did not go with it. No. She's a larger lady. I said, no, thank you very much. I kept walking. So that was it. That
inspired
that.
Because she was a larger lady.
And then the other night I was out in a club having a couple of beers and...
Heard this one before.
Close talker. But way too close, and it was a fella as well, so it wasn't really something
but
I was interested in.
But I find if you just said you were in a club or a bar, it's loud in there. You have to be a close talker.
Well, yeah, but then you also don't want someone spittle on your face.
No, which is gross.
It's gross, isn't it? So I wanted to ask people, who do you work with that, or, I don't know, maybe they're in your family. Who do you work with, hang out with? Who are you married to that annoys you?
Yep.
Maybe not. Maybe not that you use this as a forum for saving marriages. But if you have an annoying talker, and there's so many different ones, and we're going to run through some of them here, get in touch, okay? 416-872-1010. What conversational habit, style, thing that people say drives you up the wall?
Vinny,
that's what I want. Yes, darling.
Can we talk about why you brought a bottle of wine?
Yeah, we can, yeah. I'll tell you why. Because in this country, even though it's the biggest city in a G8 nation, I can't be trusted to buy alcohol after 6:01 p.m. on a Sunday because of your idiotic laws. So the fact that I want a glass of wine after the show meant that I had to bring a bottle of wine in here. I had to buy it hours ago.
Why don't we open it?
Because
why can't we? Can we open it?
Because last time we had wine in the studio, this is what you sounded like.
That you are such an exaggerator. I just had a sip.
This is patient.
Why don't we open this?
You're listening to News Talk 10.
Drink it.
And I want to let you know that I love you. I love you.
Said that. That's what you mean know is a lie. And you have a George Costanza wallet.
I mean that I love you.
So why do you have this?
This is Che Pen. Did I say that?
That's what Vinny calls me sober. So
you're listening
matter
to Flues Blocks Plen Plen. Wasn't it? Remember that? Captain Slurry Pops?
Can I take money out of your wallet?
Right. First of all, put the wine back. Honestly,
why do you have it?
It's like having a three-year-old in the studio. Stop fiddling with my wallet.
I expect I know when you come doing in that there's like items
do next
for me.
Hold up the car keys like a mobile. Stop messing about. Come on, this is
messing about.
Professional radio show.
Okay. It certainly is.
So, annoying talkers, let me know. And also, apparently, I can give you advice on how to deal with them. If
why?
You want. Because I've been speaking to an expert who has given me some tips. So, for example, the close talker, by the way, positions their face millimetres from yours, making it exceedingly difficult to carry on a conversation. You're too focused on dodging spittle to avoid direct inhalation of the funky breath. This is how you deal with it. If you're at a party, you hold your drink between them to make a barrier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or you pivot on one foot so as to put your body to the side of theirs.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah, it can be quite difficult as well, because being that this is a country made of immigrants like me and you, that you often find people, depending on their background, their social background, stand at different distances, don't they?
Well, some people won't stand, they're not even that close to you, but they lean in because it's loud. I find close talkers usually are close talkers because they think you can't hear them, so they lean in to the side, like,
yeah,
to your ear.
Okay, I'm not sure if this is going to be good radio, but I'm going to come round to you.
No, I don't want you to come that close.
Well, it's going to happen, so hang on. I'm walking round. Right, what about when people are like this? Hello, and there's no music.
No
there's
one
no
does
reason
that when there's no music.
They do.
They do not.
They do. A lot of people, here we go, bit of racial stereotyping and profiling. A lot of people from Mediterranean countries have a far closer proximity than here in North America, for example.
You were an inch from my face.
Yeah.
That people do not do unless they think you can't hear them in a loud atmosphere.
That bloke the other day, when I was in a club, he was that close.
But you were in a club, Vinny.
Yeah,
was it silent in
no,
the club?
No, but it was wasn't it loud enough to justify me looking
to
at
him,
I was looking,
it was loud.
Hey, I was looking at his tonsils, looking at them.
Maybe that's what he wanted.
Well, I'm starting to wonder. He was dressed head to toe in a rainbow flag and he had his hands on my crotch. Did I mention it was Pride? And I was naked.
Yeah.
No.
That has something to do with it.
So that's that. That's how you do with that. Then you've got the excessive toucher. Have you ever had one of those?
Someone who... I'm a bit of a toucher, though, when I speak. Like, I'll touch someone's arm.
Never touch me. You've never touched me.
That is intentional. It's not like I don't know what I'm doing.
You haven't even brushed up past me.
Nope. Try to avoid it.
Weirdly, you usually walk into another room when I get near you.
That's true.
Also,
all of that is true.
The police got in touch about that restraining order. That was a bit much, wasn't it?
Nope. Just like to get things in order.
All I did was write your name in fire outside your house. God, you're so sensitive.
And you spelled it wrong.
I put pen.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, it's funny because I mess it up every week. The excessive toucher, whether she's ducking for an overly familiar hug or perhaps jabbing you in the arm, the excessive toucher can be annoying.
That's me, though. And I'm a puncher.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes when I
the
talk to
jab,
people,
yeah.
I do that with guys. I have a lot of male friends. And as I'm talking to them, I'm like, yeah, you know, and I punch them in the shoulder.
Mm.
And sometimes I just don't know my own strength.
Well, if you have to deal with an excessive toucher in your life...
That's me, though.
Say you're not the touchy-feely type, says the expert, and the easiest way to dodge the contact is to use props. Again, try to sit with something between you.
Who carries props?
You know, pull out a hat or a bunch of flowers.
You know what's really awkward is when you go in for a hug when you see someone and they reach their hand up for a handshake.
Oh, God.
And that's the worst. It's so awkward because I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
So I'll go in like, hey.
Oh,
and
God.
When I'm uncomfortable, even when I don't know what to do, for some reason, I default to a hug. And you shouldn't default to a hug. You should default to a handshake.
Again,
but I'll see someone.
Never hugged me.
No, that's also intentional. I'll lean in for like a hey, and I raise my arms, and then their hands like jabbing me in the abdomen. I'm thinking, that's how it's supposed to go.
Oh, it's awful. And then, of course, you've got the dilemma of I'm used to the one kiss from the UK. French used to two kiss.
Yes, I tend to lean in for two kisses. I have a friend.
And then sometimes you're left hanging and you're like, well, you're going to do the other one. Oh, God, no, you're not. Oh, it's I just want to die. Even discussing it makes me feel weird.
My friend Corey, he's a food writer for the Toronto Star, and he will very quickly pull away after the first kiss so that you literally fall, you kind of fall forward trying to go in for the second. And it's almost to teach you a lesson like, no, you don't go in for the second cheek kiss.
No. In Eastern Europe, they go for three. Honestly.
I can't count that high.
You're there for half an hour. I mean, at that point, you might as well cut my nuts.
Yep.
Moving on. The me person. Now.
Oh, I know people like this.
Do you?
Talking to them right now. Oh, God, that came out.
Well, let's just talk about me for a moment. Now, this personality type quickly steers any conversation back to their own ongoing personal dramas. Now, these people are the worst because these are the ones that if you have a genuinely decent story and you begin and say, the other day I was involved in a car crash, these are the people that say, oh, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. It was 2 years ago and I nearly got in one. Right, well, that's Murray. You've taken the wheels off my story.
But you know what? No, I find those people, they're the one-uppers. So whatever, no matter what you say or what you've done, they've done it better or worse.
Yes.
So their story is always more dramatic.
Yes.
And then you're just left with, oh, well, I just got my PhD. I got three PhDs.
In the Royal Marines in England, I had a friend that was a Marine. Apparently, they call them black catters. And I said, why on earth do you call them that? And he said, because they're the people that their cat's always bigger and blacker than yours. Which doesn't make a lot of sense. But yeah, the black catters, as they're sometimes known. The me type. So apparently, the good conversation to help you if you encounter these people, and we've all been there, being a good conversationalist really is obviously about talking about the other person.
In fact, can you string together a sentence?
Oh, it's that wine. I'm just looking at it and it's having an effect. So what you do is you just say, enough about you, let's talk about me. You just have
it out. You just say that out loud?
Yeah, you do.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters.
Or you can walk off and say, nice chatting with you. Next time, perhaps we could talk about me for a little while. It's the only way to do it. There's nothing you can do with
that. It sounds like you're sulking.
I just say, don't hang around with them.
Yeah.
If they're always talking about themselves, they're probably boring and self-centered anyway.
Those are the people to avoid. The people who say, you know, oh, we should get together for dinner, for drinks. And you think, I know what this night is going to be.
I've got one of them this week. I've got one of them. You've got to help me with this, actually. What do I do about this? You know, when someone says, oh, we've got to get together for a drink.
Yeah.
There's a guy that I used to work with. He bores the hind legs off a donkey. I've never met anyone that boring. And he asked me about a month ago. He said, I've just moved to Toronto. Can you go for a drink? I said, oh, a bit busy. Busy, kept doing it. He said, all right, what about in 3 weeks' time?
Yep.
And I was like, well, obviously, by that, I'll have moved out of the city or he'll be dead or maybe an alien will have come to the city. There's no possible way it'll actually happen. Nothing happens in 3 weeks. Well, it's on Tuesday. He wants me to, and he just texted me today saying, I'm really looking forward to our drink. I'm looking forward to it about as much as I am going to the dentist knowing that I'm going to have my wisdom teeth removed.
In that situation, you pawn him off on your friends and you do a group event. You're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to, me and my buddies are going out for a beer. Come on by. And you diffuse the situation by having other people there. And like you said, if they're new to the city, they will like to meet other people. One-on-one is awful. That's the same with
that. That is exactly what I'm going to do. That's genius. I can't stand him. He's English, but he speaks like this on every sentence. Everything goes up on everything.
That's a Valley Girl thing.
He's the only person I've ever met that walked out when we used to work together. He walked out of the radio studio and said, bye. And I'm like, well, you can't question that.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Bye, I think.
No,
maybe?
You pawn him off on the friends.
Yeah. No, I'll do it.
Because someone you know.
You want to come out with me on Tuesday, yeah?
No.
Come
I'm
on,
busy.
Mate. Cover me.
Sorry, I'm busy for the next 3 weeks.
Well, don't worry. I'll tell you what. Let's do this. In three weeks' time, let's go out with him.
No.
Let's book that in now.
I do not need to be there.
Debbie Downer is the other annoying talker and personality type. Debbie Downer is, of course, someone that just goes negative on everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Did you have a good holiday? No. Worthless.
I had a friend like that in university, and I tried to stay friends with her a few years later, but everything was, it was whiny. It was like, oh, well, you have a good TV job, and I can't find one.
Oh, well, do you know why?
I didn't even have a good TV job. I was making photocopies. I was the lowest person on the, I was right out of school. I made photocopies of rundowns. Was I did she, schedules.
Was she referring to your gender?
What?
Okay. Well, that apparently can be answered by this, says the etiquette expert, if you know a Debbie Downer. To avoid letting the half-empty outlook deflate your mood, pose questions in a strategic manner. So, instead of saying, how was your vacation, you say, what was the best part of your vacation? Ah? You force them into it.
It was after the fourth day when I had food poisoning and I could finally have a sip of water.
Yeah.
That was the best part.
Or coming home.
Yep.
Whole thing was pointless. Now I'm back. I don't know why I'm here. You've got a proper job in TV.
Yeah.
I'm unemployed.
What am I going to do?
By the way, didn't you have a kids show? That was your proper job, wasn't it?
I did. I was on a kids show, but that was a side gig. That was like shot in 4 days. But my first job was in children's television.
I see.
I used to write kids' shows and cartoons.
A text just come in from 299 says, I've got someone I work with, can't stand it. They're an oversharer. Now,
yes.
This is the person who just, you know the term TMI? Mm-hmm. They hear that a lot, but they never stop. I used to work with a woman. I can say it because she was in England and I'm going to oust her and it doesn't really matter. Sue Marsden was her name. Sue Marsden, my old boss.
She look once, her up on Facebook.
Yeah. She once came in and she said, sorry, I'm a bit late. Did you get those files? I said, yeah, yeah, there you go. She goes, yeah, a bit late, wasn't I? I went, yeah, yeah. She goes, the problem is I had to clean the toilet. And I said, okay, that's great. That's a bit weird, but never mind. She goes, well, that's the thing. I couldn't leave the house until my son had left the bathroom because, you know, I had to give him a ride to school. I said, okay. She goes, he did the biggest poo I've ever seen. Biggest poo. And he smeared it up the back of the pan.
And he's 18. Just even better. I knew a woman who's much older, and she used to share all the details of her sex life. And it was really awful.
What, they had sex life or the details?
All the details. Everything. Mm. That's awful.
Well, listen,
you don't want to picture that.
I've been in a room with women. And it's immoral how rude you get, you people, when you start going. I mean, when men talk about women, which we do, don't start. I know what you're going to do with that little face of yours. You're going to say, oh, men are worse. They're not. They get a bit bawdy, yes. But I was with some women the other day. They were talking in enormous detail about the various penises they'd experienced.
Men don't talk in detail?
Not about that. Not in good company. No. I'm a gentleman.
I don't believe it.
Never talked about anything of the sort. Goes on in the bedroom. It's a bedroom activity. I'm prude. Not rude. why am I feeling that no one's buying this?
I'm not at all.
The constant competitor. If you've just tuned in, by the way, Pei and I are talking about annoying talkers and people that drive you mad with their constant problems, oversharing, Debbie Downer, the excessive toucher, the close talkers. We're now on to the constant competitor. So this is someone that just makes one-upmanship an art form.
Well, that's kind of the person we described earlier, right? The me one is a bit of,
yeah,
is often the,
absolutely,
I think, right? The competitor?
They're very much entwined, yeah. But they talk about, you know, how great their accomplishments are, their purchases, the travels and the children. And apparently what you're supposed to do with people like this is rather than get into a back and forth competition, you let her do her one-up thing. And then just shut up and say, oh, that's nice.
I feel these are all tips to end a friendship.
Well, I mean, ultimately, surely that's the thing you should be doing with these people, isn't it?
I just don't know why you go out with them again.
What about the small talker?
What do you mean?
Have you ever been with someone that just talks about the weather and colours?
No, I would never, ever, ever socialise with someone like that.
No.
You might know them in a work setting, like they're an acquaintance, but not someone I would spend time with, because I feel I would know that going in. That's elevator conversation.
Yeah, it's painful, isn't it?
I can't imagine sitting down with someone who couldn't have a conversation.
Well, sometimes, I mean, you say this as if we all have choices. Sometimes you have to work with these people. You know.
But I'd be like, I got to get back to work now. Yeah. I don't see why you would spend much time.
Just get out of it, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Wouldn't go beyond small talk.
I used to have a woman called How Are You? We called her How Are You because that's all she ever said. I'll do a quick synopsis. You be Vinny and I'll be her. Hi, Vinny. How are you?
Hey, Janet.
How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay now.
Great. And how are you?
Now I feel sad.
I feel actually slightly irate because you keep asking the same bloody question. Yeah, she used to just do it. She was
stuck on a
loop.
Thank you for caring, Janet.
She had nothing else. Just that. And I was like, I'm starting to think that your consideration is not entirely sincere, Janet.
She really cared. She needed to know the minute by minute updates on your feelings.
What about gossips?
Yeah, gossips. Every workplace, please.
Well, who do you think's the worst? Government? Offices in general?
I've never worked in one.
Have you not?
In a government office? No. I've only worked in media.
Yeah.
So that's pretty gossipy because it's a small industry.
Yeah,
it is. It's a small industry and everyone knows each other. And that's where you have to be very careful what you say or what you repeat because you don't want to burn bridges. And
you never know. Like the producer could be your next boss, which is why Elliot is without question the best producer I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from all the other producers, which are slightly better and or worse, delete as applicable. But please, please, just keep giving me work. Thank you. So I have the solution to all of these people. The small talker, the gossips, the touchy-feely people, the people that come too close to you, the people that bang on and complain. There is a new solution from Japan, as always. They've invented something. It's called the annoying talk jammer. And I'm not making this up. Yes? Babblers, library whisperers, hecklers. Japanese researchers at the National Institute of Advanced Industrial Science and Technology have found a way to shut you up. It's called the speech jammer. And what it is, it records what you say and plays it back to you at delayed intervals. And it works really clever, actually. It includes a laser pointer, a directional microphone, a distance sensor, a microcomputer for delay, and parametric directional speaker. So, for example, if you were banging on and annoying me, I could point this at you, a bit like a radar on the side of the road, it looks like.
Which would not alarm me at all.
No, that definitely wouldn't
put you off. That you're pointing something at me.
If you were still babbling on, you would hear back what you were saying, but with a slight delay. It's a little bit like when Skype fails and you can hear yourself over and over again. And apparently, it renders everyone completely silent.
Well, because, first of all, you're pointing a recording device at me. You could do the same with your iPhone. If we were speaking and you suddenly pointed your iPhone at me, I'd be like, what are you doing? And you're like, I'm going to play this back for you, the last 30 seconds.
Mm.
That would pretty much end the conversation right there because that proves you are a weirdo.
Just test it.
Yeah, see? I'm like, what are you doing? We're not in a scrum.
No, but the thing
is, I'm not the mayor.
The difference is that you could actually manage to say, please stop doing that. It actually renders you so confused that actually you can't actually talk because as soon as you do, you hear back something else that you've just said or are saying with a very slight delay or sometimes quite a big delay or sometimes something you said a few minutes ago back at you. And it makes you so disorientated and confused that you stop talking. Apparently in Japan, they've been using it on their lecturers. So it's really good. Maybe they should do this for the new reality TV show. Rather than vote them on and off, just shut them up when they start banging on. Unfortunately, I feel a lot of people would be very often pointing it at me.
I think so.
Yeah. Apparently, you can block it by wearing noise-cancelling earphones or if you trace them.
Thing is stupid.
I love this. You can use an array of microphones in a circle with a computer circuit to detect the direction of the sound beam and break it. So,
oh my God. Because you're like, everybody keeps pointing this recording device at me. I'm going to now block it so I can keep rambling on.
So there you go. I should probably take some calls on this as well. Do you work with people that are incredibly annoying? And for what reason are they annoying? And obviously, it might be in your interest to not give us your or their real name. So if you want to tell me of your woes, it's a bit like when the other day when Pei and I asked you for your problems and she was completely crap and unsupportive, and I was brilliant. Remember that?
Don't quite remember it the way you remember it. I believe I was being helpful.
Yeah. 416-872-1010, Star Talk 8255, or you can text 71010 with the woes of annoying talkers. And someone just come in here said that my neighbour's Italian and I can't talk to- I can't talk to him because every time he talks to me, he spits in my face. It's not fair, is it, on all Italians?
Not all Italians.
No. I've been told that I'm quite a close talker, actually.
You probably are. If we didn't have this desk barrier, I have a feeling you would be.
If we didn't have this, I'd probably have some sort of allegations for sexual assault.
Yeah, I think so.
As it is, it's pretty close after what happened earlier when I came over, isn't it?
What?
Nothing. All right. So what should we do with you? Should we throw you out now?
Yeah, I'm going.
Like a sort of used...
Well, we're not having any wine. There's no cheese to go with it. Mm. I'm easily bribed with food. There isn't any. I've been here for a while, and I think I've helped you with your
great. I just want to say that if I had that talk jammer, I would now point it at you.
Well, I would be wearing the blocker, so it would all zap back in your face, and you wouldn't be able to do anything about it.
I have to do it because I do it every week, and just to get a rise out of it, you've been listening to Pen Chai. I'll be back in a minute. They won't.
And I'm taking the wine with me. Thank you very much.
Put it down, you thieving alcoholic. Back in a minute right here. News Talk 1010.
Do we have a bottle opener?
Shut up. Shut your face.
Corkscrew?
Shut up.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
9:35 is the time. Not that it matters, because it's a long weekend and most people are just mildly drunk in a cottage of some description, sitting around a fire, chilling out. And good for you. I hope you've had a great weekend so far. It's been really good, actually, isn't it, across Toronto? I was going to go away, but I found out that next week a friend of mine is coming. Oh, actually, I need your help on this. Maybe you can help me. Next week, a friend of mine is coming from Ottawa with a boat. And so I'm going to have my long weekend next weekend. I don't think I'm doing the show, by the way. I should tell you that, Elliot. I'm going to have a week off.
Okay.
Okay. You can come in if you want and press buttons, but it will be terribly boring. So I might not be here next week because he's bringing a boat and we're going to go cruising around the lake on his boat.
That sounds great.
I know. Isn't that rock and roll?
Excellent.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel a bit bling. I've never, it's not the normal life I leave. But hopefully that's going to happen next weekend. So my question, actually, on a serious note, is he asked me to find out where I can launch it, because apparently you have to, you know, you can't just chuck a boat in the lake just like that. So can you tell me where I can launch it for free? And I live sort of King and, what's it called? King and Jameson area. So if you can find anywhere near there that I can put the boat in, that would be great. But I really don't know, and I don't know where to start, so... Let me know if you boat. Thank you. 416-872-1010. It's quite niche radio that I do feel I may be abusing my position somewhat. But you know what? I don't get paid much, so that's the way we roll. Text 71010 as well if you want. Now, moving on. Pigeon death. Now, a lot of people don't like pigeons. And I'm one of them. They're pesky animals, aren't they? But that doesn't mean to say you can just go ahead and murder them. and the reason I say that is a man has found his prize pigeon dead on his doorstep with a threatening note this week. Check this out.
An ugly incident in a quiet Chemainus neighborhood has done more than ruffle a few feathers. A man alleges that one of his neighbors has killed one of his prized pigeons after the bird got out of its cage and ended up on the neighbor's property. And there's more to it. The bloody bird was then delivered to the man's doorstep with a threatening note. CTV's Chandler Grieve reports.
When I came home, I thought I was living in a Godfather movie, except the guy was a fool. He doesn't know it was a horse, not a pigeon.
What? It felt like a scene out of a crime film. Wally Petrovich coming home to find horror on his front step. One of his prized pet pigeons, bloody and lifeless.
Well, I came home and I saw that pigeon on my doorstep, so I thought it was a hawk killed it or a falcon. And...
But Wally says the pigeon was accompanied by a note that made it clear the death was no accident.
The note said, keep your effing pigeons out of my property or I'll deliver more of them dead.
Shocked and furious, Wally took the note and his dead pigeon next door.
I walked over there, knocked on the door, and I said, is this from you guys? And a woman that answered the door said, yes, it is, and there'll be others.
So, yeah, and Wally then asked his, well, as it said there, he asked his neighbour what was going on, and they said, we're going to keep killing your pigeons, because they stink. There was a note on the bloody dead bird. And by the way, the bird was worth $350, not your average common or garden pigeon here. This is a stripped-down sexy racing pigeon. Not sure the word sexy was appropriate there, but you know what I mean. The elderly woman admitted to writing the note. Now, looks like she might be done with animal cruelty, but it's a bit of a grey area because pigeon are considered by some vermin. Vermin are pests or just nuisance animals. So actually, it might be difficult to charge. But you can't do that, can you? You can't. Like, I used to live next to chickens. Oh, I'd love to wring their neck. They absolutely stink. And we lived in like a tiny townhouse in England. So it was the most inappropriate thing. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't living on a farm. It wasn't like, you know, we had 15 acres. We had 0.001 of an acre. 416-872-1010. If you've ever had an animal, if you've ever murdered an animal of your neighbour, or indeed your neighbour's animals are driving you insane. Because there are people that have just monstrous dogs that just yap all the time. And we'd all like to do it, but that doesn't mean to say you can. So I'd like to ask you your annoying neighbours, cats, dogs, etc. And have you ever wanted to shoot them? And by the way, I'm not condoning this in any way, shape or form. 416-872-1010. Let's take the first call from Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how are you, sir? First time calling.
Oh, nice to hear from you.
I want to know, did they use a gun or a shotgun?
Well, apparently they didn't use either. It would appear that she wrung its neck.
Oh, no. What I would have done is I would have used an elephant shotgun, and then I would have brought it over without the head.
Wow, Tony, I think either you're a sadistic man.
No, I'm not sadistic. No. I mean, if you got pigeons or anything like that, and they stink, and they're doing that, and you tell them a couple of times, and they still have it, well, you got to do something about it. It's the same thing as raccoons.
Tony, you're a vigilante. You're unstoppable.
No. Got nothing to do with that. It just got to do with respect. You know?
Tony, I'm never going to cross you. You know that.
Huh?
Would you leave a horse's head in my bed if I slept with your wife?
Well, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
You would be in my wife, but you would be both dead. You follow what I'm trying to say?
Not only do I follow it, but I'm actually slightly scared. Tony, I promise I'll never sleep with your wife.
No. My wife won't sleep with nobody anyway. She's a little bit on the chubby side.
Oh, my God.
Good night, sir.
See you later. Tony there, not only condoning the murdering of pigeons, but also saying that he would quite happily kill anyone and his wife as well, if given the opportunity of an affair. But it's okay, because she's not going to have an affair, because she's slightly fat. Fantastic there. Tony really lifting the mood on this radio show and making me feel a little bit tense. I was sort of looking for animals and not people that are psychotic, but you're welcome to call in no matter who you are. 416-872-1010, and perhaps we should get some police on the line just to make sure. StarTalk 8255, and you can text 71010 as well. Tony there, who I'm not sure I've ever been scared on the radio, apart from when that woman said that she was going to meet me outside. Did I ever tell you about that? Yeah, I was working in Ottawa, and she said, she phoned me up on there, and we were having a chat. And she said, I'm gonna come and meet you outside your show afterwards. And I was like, yeah, I mean, probably just wait until we do a live broadcast from a park next week, and you can have a signed photograph, and we'll have a chat. And she said, no, I've got a present for you. And I went, yeah, you could just give me that in the park next week. And I'm thinking, because there's security and my management and all that stuff. And she said, no, I'll just meet you after work. And it got, like, quite hostile on the phone. And you can't really say on the phone, listen, love, don't meet me after work. That's mental. So I strongly implied that it would be inappropriate in a jovial way, which is very difficult to do, by the way, and then played a record. Come out of the show, she's there with a bottle of tequila, of all things. And she goes, here you go. Are you just going to ignore me? And the thing is, I don't know who you are. So, yes. Yes, I am going to ignore you, because I don't know who you are. I know you think you know me, but that's definitely weird. And the worst thing is, and I was so freaked out, and I'm quite partial to tequila, I took it. And then so the next day I said to my manager, I just want to let you know that there's a woman that's sort of slightly stalking me. She's phoned in a few times and she was outside with a bottle of tequila. And he said, oh, it's not a problem. Just give us the, obviously you didn't take the tequila, so that's not a problem. And I said, actually, I did. And he said, right, yeah, probably don't do that. Probably, it's not really helping your cause, taking gifts from her. Bloody good tequila, like. Thanks very much. So, yeah, I'm not sure how we got into that. If you want to talk about that, you can, and other things as well. It's a very free-for-all show, isn't it, Elliot? You never really know where it's going. Some slightly darker areas along the way. So we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, maybe take your calls on this. Also, we're going to be talking about grammar cock-ups, as in the worst grammar of all time ever in any record. And if we get time, we're going to do another couple of things as well. Who knows where it will go? We're all in very relaxed weekend mode right here on News Talk 1010.
Stimulating thought and the talk to follow. This is the Vinnie White Show on News Talk 1010.
You can grab the podcast of this show at vinniewhite.co.uk. vinniewhite.co.uk. You can just Google me if you feel the need. It's up every, probably Monday, and looks back at the Sunday. Also this week, if you're a fan of me. If you're a fan of me, you can listen to me on Jim Richard's show on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. That guy gets so much time off. It's unbelievable. I think he's been here since like 1842. And as a result, he's got so much vacation that I'm quite often standing in for him. So I'll be on all week. And I believe I'm actually on again a couple of days the week after. And then summer is slightly, I mean, summer continues. But I think at that point, Jim returns in his normal way. All right, so a couple of catch-ups to do. We were talking earlier on about people that annoy you when they're talking and the things that they do to drive you up the wall. Someone texted and said, you do. Thank you. Appreciate it. I think that's a no, it's not a compliment. And somebody says, excessive swearing drives me insane, Vinny. Why do people do it non-stop? Yeah, I don't like swearing in the wrong place, you know? Oh, I went down the effing road. It was fantastic. Well, then why is it what? Doesn't make any sense. There's people that do that. Loud talkers, someone texted in, I can't stand any loud talkers. I have to work with one. And she says, it's difficult to text, but I assume your capital letters is like this. She says, do you want a coffee? At every possible chance. Mumblers annoy me, says someone on text. Stupid laughers. Yeah, that's a big one. I hate people that say that's hilarious. That's hilarious, but they haven't laughed. You know that? You do your best gag. Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, if it is, you could just laugh. Or just don't say it's really funny. You're hilarious. I went to a funeral the other day. Hilarious. You know, you could have like crickets after. Have you got any crickets? That was the funniest joke I've ever heard. You are hilarious. Awesome. The other one. Oh, yeah, this one's good. I know a girl that does this, that just pauses for no apparent reason for ages. Yeah. I used to have a manager like that. I've had some really weird managers, actually. They used to come in and go, right, we've had a look at the finances, and this quarter's been slightly unreasonable. We've got an action plan. What are we going to do? And you're like, what? What? What are you going to do? Give us a cricket. Crickets work well in this. You should always have a cricket sound machine. All right, never mind. Forget it. Poor Elliot's pulling his hair out and he's only got two left. Leave it. Leave it. We'll move on. All right, so I want to do... why did
I thought the crickets were done.
Oh, listen, buddy. I might go back and forth on a cricket. You know, oh, that sounds wrong. Never have I done anything of the sort. Right, the other day we did the fantastic segment on our show, if I may be so bold and brash, which I believe I just was, that was the worst song lyrics of all time. People emailed in and phoned in with masses of them, and it went quite well. And it inspired a new segment. Someone emailed me this week and said, why not just talk about bad lyrics, why not also talk about grammatically incorrect lyrics? And we start... And don't worry, someone from Britain's coming. We start with a Canadian. Gimme, what you got? She says her love for me could never die. That'd change if she ever found out about you and I. So that one, it's a common one, actually. That would change if she ever found out about you and I. Right, so the simple rule here is, folks, take out the you and see if the sentence makes sense. And it doesn't. So it should actually be, that would change if she ever found out about you and me. Yeah? Mm-hmm. I'll give you a break because you're Canadian and you're a bit of a legend. Although, I think, didn't he move to America like they all do?
He did, yeah. There's some other, yeah, there's CanCon stuff.
Have you got a slice of fame in Canada? Then why not move to America? Everybody else does. For a better life. But then look back and come and visit your cottage in Muskoka. It'll be great. Then, of course, we can't just have a Canadian when the Brits, the people that invented the language, have also perverted it. Like the police with this. Fantastic. Everything, every little thing she does is magic. Everything she do just turns me on. I don't know where he got that. Well, and the thing is, if you said does, it would have fit just as well. Outrageous. However, because he did one of the best lyrics of all time, Message in a Bottle, I'm going to let him off. And he's quite hunky. You know, I don't bat for the other team, but if I did, I so would give Sting a cuddle. All right. Timbaland. Can you do that one for me? Okay, shoot. So it's quite mild there. It's hard to work out. The track is called The Way I Are. That's actually the name of the track. So already a problem. Can the lyric is, can you handle me the way I are? Again, if you'd have said the way I am, not only would it have made grammatical sense, but it still would have worked. So don't change it unless you have to. Don Fogelberg said this.
Four stars fall every time a lover has to face the truth. And far too many stars fell on me.
It's a beautiful, soft little number, isn't it? Far too many stars have fell on me. So stuffy, aren't I? Should be fallen. Never mind artistic license. Backstreet Boys, I'll Never Break Your Heart. Let's hear a little bit of that, shall we?
As time moves by, you will get to know me a little more.
Oh! Right.
Girl, that's the way.
If I was on a date and someone said this to me, I would walk out of the restaurant and leave them with the bill. And then I'd go back and firebomb the place. Because that just isn't enough. She said, sorry, he said, although it does very much sound like a he, I can only imagine that he's got part of his body clamped in a vice. The Backstreet Boys there said, as time goes by, you will get to know me much more better. Again, get the more out and it still would have worked. You'll get to know me much more better as you listen to these radio shows. Shut your face. Gwen Stefani, this is the worst crime of grammar. And I'll explain why in a minute. Play it. If I was a rich girl, from Gwen Stefani. Now, the rule here is the past subjective requires the plural form of the verb to be. Now, if, like me, you don't know what that actually means, it means this. If I were a rich man, not if I was a rich girl, okay? Now, so let me just make this very clear to you. This is a track that was copied from A Fiddler on the Roof, and the track was called If I Were a Rich Man. So what she's done is gone, well, I can't say if I were a rich man because I'm a woman, so I'll say if I was a rich girl. No, just change the man to woman. They had it. It was done. It was all working. You've messed it up. If I were a rich man was right. So it should be if I were a rich girl, not if I was a rich girl. Why have you done that? Look, I'm going, that's why when my friend says that that's when I go helium, when I go that high. Why have you done that? Kanye West, who talks a lot of crap. Wasn't he the guy that went mental on stage as well?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, he was Taylor Swift, I believe.
Yeah, and said that Beyonce should have got the award.
Something like that.
So, an absolute prize knob. And he came out with this absolute peach.
We are war. We are war with terrorism, racism. But most of all, we are war with ourselves. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down.
Now, I know targeting Kanye West lyrics is like shooting fish in a barrel, but I find this one fascinating. Jesus Walks is the track. Yo, we at war. We at war with terrorism, racism, and most of all, we at war with ourselves. God show me the way because the devil trying to break me down. Now, Kanye, what you have to do, buddy, me old friend, me old mate, what you want to be doing there, you want to pop a few verbs in. Just pop a few verbs in. And your sentence going to flow. All right? Glad I could help. And I'm sure most, as we know, most rap tracks are written perfectly well and are always not only perfectly clean in every sense, but the grammar's usually spot on. So if you've got any of these, let me know. 71010 on the text. There's one from Bon Jovi and it's killing me because I can't remember what it was. I had to play it when I worked in Ottawa on a rock station. And it's the name of the track.
Living on a Prayer?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, there is because it's been played too many times.
You Give Love a Bad Name?
No, You Give Love a Bad Name is not grammatically incorrect.
Oh, yeah, I can't. I'm just trying to run through all the
ones. There's, if you can remember it, it's about 3 years old, the track, and it uses the terrible grammar, and it's killing me, because I remember every time I had to play it, I got in a pickle. If you're quick on Google Bon Jovi grammatically incorrect, and text me the answer, 71010. And if you've got any more, you can let me know. Am I just being picky? Someone just said, don't worry about it, it's artistic license. Yeah, listen, I know that. But there's standards. These are the children that are listening to this. And they're already speaking text language. What'd you say?
What do you got?
What do you got? That's it.
What is there? What do you have?
Yes. What do you got? That's it. And actually, since we're on the subject, if you go and get a coffee, you shouldn't say, can I get a coffee? You should say, can I have a coffee? Unless you work there and you're getting it for free. Technically. So when you say, can I get a coffee? Because you're just getting it, right? Apparently that's the rule. Someone told me. I'm surprised you can pick out the grammatical errors. I can barely understand any of the lyrics, said someone. Yeah, exactly. The only reason I could do it with that Kanye West track is because I had the lyrics written down. Annoying and freaky when a listener slightly silently mouths what you're saying to them. Oh, yeah, that's annoying. That goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Anywho, have we got time for Misconnection, Elliot?
We do.
All right, we'll wrap up on this little puppy. Go. Oh, look, hang on a sec. Hang on. Stop that. I just want to explain what it is. Because you know what, Elliot? Some people don't listen every week. I know they should, but they don't. So we'll leave you on this. This is a Misconnection, as read out from... someone that wrote it on... I had to trawl through many Misconnections. My God, there's some sad people out there to get this. This is written on Craigslist for someone looking for someone else, a man looking for woman on the 401. Go. There was two of you in your car. You both caught me somewhere between the 401 and the 407 on the highway. I was picking my nose while I was alone in the car. I thought I'd be safe there from judgment, away from the tangle of people and their looming, insecure, nasty nature. But there you were, cute, two young women, probably Torontonians, who had Ontario plates. Right as I went for it, passing me on the left, pointing and laughing while I sat, caught red-handed with a crusty one on my finger and one hand on the wheel. Well, I decided to make the most of it, so I stuck a pen and a pencil up my nose, and then I sped up to pass you, this time deliberately looking over to see how you would both react. And you laughed again, but this time it was more awkward. Not for me. I felt right as rain. I'd love to see you again, and this time I'll remove any contents of my nose before meeting you. I like to make people laugh, but I really like the look of you two lovely ladies. If you can, get in touch, and I promise I'll keep my passageways clean. Beautiful. 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 I like that. And we'll leave that on that bombshell, which I can safely say is the best radio show we've ever done, and I would say the best radio show in the world, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Cheers. Good. Loaded question. I'll be in on Tuesday from 1 to 4, Wednesday 1 to 4, Thursday 1 to 4, Friday 1 to 4. I probably won't be here next Sunday because I'll be on a boat, Mother Hubbard. Have a scintillating and wonderful day off tomorrow. You're really great. Thank you so much. See you later.